Cover me, cover me. Peace of God, cover me.
Say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good to be back here with you again tonight. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. I'm tired. I was tired before I preached this morning. I was really tired after I preached. Then we had to get ready for round two. Maybe that'll help tonight. Usually when I'm the weakest, He's the strongest. But just in case there's still a little too much of me left, you just help me out tonight, okay? Praise the Lord. So we got some good reports from... So they had a service in San Luis Obispo at the little church there on Johnson Avenue. It was a little sanctuary, and... It's likely the last service that will ever be held there. So it's the end of an era, you know. Chapters are finished being written, and the new chapters begin, you know. There's the only thing that's constant is change, you know. When it's done, it's done. It served its purpose. So it was a time, it was bittersweet for the folks that were there today and those that are hanging around that are not really plugged in otherwise. My prayer is that it just really, I mean, if this doesn't shake them, I don't know what would, you know. That's my prayer. Brother Andy said that they probably cried more today than they did at the memorial service. And I said, well, of course, you know, at the memorial services, first of all, you're still kind of in shock. And second of all, you're trying to hold things together. But today they didn't have to hold anything together. So I told them it's probably really cleansing to just go ahead and break down and let it out. You know, the Jews wrote the book on that, you know, just wail and scream and cry. You know, people look at them and think, well, they're crazy. Get it out. Don't just let it slip out little by little. And then it keeps coming back. Just get rid of it. Just let it flow. It's cleansing. And then the pastor of the church, he came up and talked to me. So he's been pastor there 30-something years, I think, and a very nice man. And actually, he was Mike Calderwood's wife's pastor for a number of years. And Brother Clay and Sister Linda and Stan have attended there off and on for the last few years. And anyway, the pastor came, and he was really kind of touched by the service and came over and talked to me for a few moments. And then he said today, the pastor of the church said this morning to his congregation that for him personally, it was the most impactful memorial he's ever been to. That's saying a lot, you know. Anyway, we just pray that hearts were touched. You know, there were so many people there yesterday that I'd never seen before. You know, there were friends, relatives, they'd worked at the prison, whatever. Some of them had never been to church before. And some of them said, I really liked what I heard yesterday. I'm gonna come to church. I'm going to give it a try. You know? Praise his wonderful name, you know? That's one of the best opportunities that we have. You have a captive audience for just a little bit, and it's a time when hearts are tender and when people are thinking and, you know, seeing the finality of someone's life. And so we just pray, and I just ask you to join us in prayer that the hearts that were touched, that they go further and and that other hearts are warmed up and renewed, and direction is given. So Brother Andy told me he'll be bringing the pulpit back with him that was used there for so many years. So I guess there won't be another service in there unless somebody brings their own pulpit. I imagine they're going to eventually sell that home. I think that's what the, you know, there's no really reason to hold on to it. So, well, you can see this affects me a little bit too, because that's where I started, you know. But I have a little bit more experience with this than most people, because we moved around so much, and I've made the mistake of going back to places, you know, because your heart's just tore up, you want to go back, and so you go back and visit, and it's not at all, not at all like it was when you left. And you feel kind of violated. You feel like you just got beamed up and disappeared, you know. So you just remember it as it was, and realize it can never, you can never pass that way again. Life goes one direction. So be good to remind ourselves of that, to keep that in mind. Praise the Lord. Well, I sure enjoyed His presence this morning. We're on to something here. My wife said, I'm starting to believe this. she preached back to me just how she got it at another level. And that's just how it is. We get it at a greater and greater level. Deuteronomy chapter 11. So pray for our translator here tonight. I didn't give him the scriptures till 10 minutes ago. And we're going to do some Bible study tonight at about 100 miles an hour. So you probably won't even be able to write it down. But if you want the scriptures, we can provide them to you, as we always have. And actually, I would prefer that you didn't write them down. I'd prefer that you just ask for them, and that way you can give me your undivided attention. It's hard to write and listen, and you're still on the other thought, and there's another one coming. And right? Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words, in your heart and in your soul. Oh, it poured yesterday in California, so, and the hills are just all green. We heard thunder. How often did we hear thunder in San Luis Obispo? It's too wet. You know, the air's got to be dry. It was different. The creek that runs through San Luis Obispo was flooded. There's a sidewalk down there that you can walk along the creek. There ain't no sidewalk down there that it's underwater. It's the tables that were down there, they're underwater. So, of course, we should have known that, because the only reason we're having the weather here is because they're having the weather there. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied. You want to live a long life? Put the word before you. Amen. That your days may be multiplied. Well, I heard one amen, so you're going to live a long time. Yeah. All right. And the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I commanded you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. And also Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord. You won't find two Lords in the scripture anywhere. You can take your computer and do a search. You won't find three Lords. You will only find one. The math is simple. Let's keep it that way. You don't have to get into twos and threes. Just keep it one. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord. It's not going to be that all three will be reduced to one. There's always been one Lord. And his name, one. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And we'd like to be remembered in prayer tonight. Let's just lift our hands as we lift our hearts. Father, as we come before you tonight. We ask for strength. We ask that, Lord, that you'd help us, give us a clear mind and help us just to surrender to you, Lord, from the pulpit to the back door. And Lord, what a wonderful revelation that has been restored back between, Lord, the sixth and the seventh church age. And Lord, it's powerful and it's wonderful and it's quickening, Lord. And Father, we ask that you just take it, bring it to us to a greater level as yet, Lord. We want to know you better and we want to know ourselves better, Lord. So as we minister your word tonight, Lord, we just pray that you be in every part. Father, just help us, forgive us for our sins, our mistakes, Lord. And Father, fill us with your love and grace and mercy tonight. And Lord, we surely give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I hope I didn't run Joey and Hannah off. I said, Joey is a good name. Dougie is not, and Jenny is not, but Joey is a good name. I meant that. I'm so thankful for the restoration of the Word in our day. Where would we be tonight without the Word that we have? Where would our hope be? Where would our confidence be? It still excites us. And it's revealed to us in waves from glory to glory. You know, just when you thought you had, you knew something, you realized, wow, I know it better now. I didn't know it as much as I thought I did. And it's not a negative. It's not to make you feel bad that you didn't know, but it's to excite you to realize, wow, it just continues to unfold and it's making it more and more real to us. And of course, we should expect this, friends, when pressure comes and when the world is coming against the Word, and when people are coming against the Word, that's when you expect Him to raise up a standard. That's when you expect Him to come in like a flood. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God comes in like a flood, raising a standard, and His army is greater than the armies of this world. Amen? So just when you think that it can't get any clearer, it does. And that's actually what produces faith in us for the change. And His Word, it just continues to unfold to us further and further. And as it does, we gain a greater understanding of why Jesus is the name above all names. I've sang that my entire Christian existence. Jesus, name above all names. Beautiful Savior, wonderful Lord. Glorious Savior, wonderful Lord. Counselor. How's mighty, mighty, yeah. What's the rest of it? Help me out. My brain's. Yeah, we sang that, right? Over and over and over. And we think we know what it means. We think we got it, right? But His Word unfolds to us further. So we used to think. Now, maybe I'm just the slow kid on the block, so just humor me here tonight, okay? We used to think that it was just because all power was given unto Him and because at the calling of His name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord, that He is Christ. But now we see that there's actually a deeper meaning to that statement that it's the name above all names. It's the name above all names, Brother Joel, because in that name is where the complete expression of the revelation of God is found. That's why it's the greatest name, because it's the greatest expression. It's the greatest revelation. It's the greatest unfolding. It's not that those other names are no good, but they're only a partial revealing of Him. But this is the greatest name because it's the greatest revelation. It's the greatest unfolding. You know Him in a greater way. You know Him in His fullness. You know Him, all of His attributes in that name. And that's why it's the greatest of all names. There's no greater name. No greater name, because in Him is the fullness of God. But in Him is also the full manifestation and the full revealing of all that He is. As Jehovah's Savior of the Old Testament, I don't know Him all there is about Him. As Elohim, I don't know all there is about Him. As Melchizedek, I don't know all there is about Him. As the mighty conqueror, as deliverer, I don't know all there is to know about Him. I know a portion. But in the name of Jesus, that's where everything that there is to know is made known, under that name. It's the greatest name. It's the name above all names. Hallelujah. Forgive me, Lord. The name above all names. It is, in other words, it's the most descriptive name of God. All revelation. No wonder it's the greatest revelation. No wonder it's the greatest of all revelations, because in that name is all revelation. In that name, we know Him in the greatest and the deepest way that He can be made known unto His children. And once we recognize that, then we can go back through the Bible and we can see Him as He unfolded Himself along the way throughout the Scriptures and realize that that's Jesus, but we did not see the fullness of Jesus as we saw him manifested here in part, here in part, here in part, here in part, but it's the same Jesus. Are you with me? Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So the New Testament saints, they were accused of using this name. They were accused of, they not only used this name, but Brother William, they used it over and over and over and over. In fact, you know, it was a cult. It was a Jesus cult. That's all they said was Jesus this, and Jesus that, and Jesus this, and Jesus that. They worshiped in His name. They preached in His name. They baptized in His name. They spoke in His name. They prayed in His name. Deliverance was in His name. Salvation was in His name. Everything, that name, over and over and over and over and over. Isn't that somehow taking away from Jehovah? In Acts chapter 4, the name was literally preached. It was stressed strongly. And I think we've lost that. I think the church, I know the church world has lost that. But I think if we're not careful, we'll lose it among us too and just take it for granted. The name was preached. The name was emphasized. The name was expressed. The name was stressed strongly. Because it's only in that name that we can have these promises. The Trinitarians today, they've watered down the name by making Jesus just one God of three gods that they mysteriously call one. They say it's three, but somehow these three are one. And you say, well, that sounds mysterious. They say, yeah, we know. It's a mystery. And then they blame Paul for it because Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness, right? But he's not talking about their mystery. And the mystery that he's talking about is revealed to you and I. Christ is the mystery of God revealed to you and I. So if you have a partial expression of God through a name, you can only receive a partial revealing that's under that name. Does that make sense to you? You can't have everything that's under the name above all names if you don't have the name above all names. If you have a partial expression of God, you'll get a partial expression of God. John chapter 5, verse 43. I am come, Jesus said, in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, you will receive him. So he's saying the one that brought me and brought this body that I'm in right now into being, I come in His name. And I will receive you if you'll come in my name. Men would not receive Him because He came in His Father's name. But men will receive you if you'll come in the name of Baptist, if you'll come in the name of Methodist, if you'll come in the name of Lutheran, or come in the name of Catholic. But if you come in the name of His Father, you're rejected. They would not receive Him when he came in the name above all names. And they wouldn't receive the disciples after the day of Pentecost when they preached and they prayed and they worshiped in that very same name. They would not receive them because of the name that they came in. And they won't receive you today if you come in his name. He comes in his Father's name. So what does that mean? What is the name of the Father? Let's let Scripture interpret Scripture. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Isn't that wonderful? So they will be the people of his name. His name will be identified with them, and they will be identified with his name. His name will be on their foreheads. Revelation 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. So the name of the Lamb, of course we know the Lamb is our Redeemer. The name of the Lamb, the name of Jesus, which is God the Father, which is the Spirit's name, is one name. That one created that body and then came to dwell in that body so he could manifest himself to us. So the Father's name is the Son's name. And the only way that can be true is if the Father and the Son are the same. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So the family of God is identified with that name. Well, that's not so strange now, is it? If I have children, whose name will I give to my children? I give them my name. They will have the same name that I have. Right? Sorry about that, but they'll have the same name. I didn't get to pick either. But his name. He has children. He has a family. The whole family of God is identified in his name. This was preached by the early church. This was emphasized by the early church. And they took a beating. The early church took a beating for it, but the early church was blessed for it too. Every child of God is to bear his name. Every child of God is to be identified with that name. Even in the natural, as we said, every child of a father bears the name of a father. So this only makes sense. It's only reasonable. Acts chapter 15, verse 14. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Here's a guy trying to keep up with the scriptures. You can't do it. A people to share his identity. The Father's name. The Lamb's name. They're all identified in his name. There's only one name. Oh, isn't that going to be kind of nice? You know, there's dynasties in China, you know, where everybody's got the same name. There were dynasties in Korea, same thing. You know, the last name is Kim. It's so much easier when you don't have to worry about all the different last names. If there's just one, the whole family has one name. No foster children, no adopted children, no name changing. It's all one name. So Jesus is the highest name of God ever revealed to humankind. The highest. There's no higher name. And that's why we must start with the greatest of all revelations, which is the revelation of the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. And it is the supreme revelation of God, the deity. He is the deity, and it's the supreme revelation of him. The name is representing him, so the full revelation of him is in that name. Are you with me? There's no other name that reveals to us as much as the name Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter whether Jesus of the Old Testament was revealing himself as El Shaddai or as Melchizedek or as the self-existent one or whatever portion that he was revealing himself under. Jesus is Jehovah Savior, which is the fullness of our Redeemer. And the name contains within it all of the other former revelations of God. So El Shaddai is in that name. The self-existent one is in that name. Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, that's in that name. It's all in that name. And it is the full revelation of him to us. So the name of Jesus is the great name. It's the greatest of all names, and therefore it's the greatest revelation of God. Hallelujah. That's why it's the greatest name of all. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So what we're seeing here is that Jehovah is going to release his people from their sins. He didn't do that in the Old Testament. He's going to release his people from their sins, from their spiritual bondage that they're under, under Satan. So salvation, that we're speaking of here, it's salvation from sin. And there's only one place that we can find salvation from sin, and that's in that name, in the name of Jesus. And so when a nominal Christian hears that, here's what comes into their mind. They think what you're saying is salvation from sin is only in the flesh man Jesus. But that name was before the flesh man was begotten of the Father. We just didn't know it. And that name is also after the flesh man died. The flesh man was laid in the grave. The flesh man raised up, and then that flesh body was changed. It's not the same body that came out of the virgin. It's a different body. It's been changed. Just as your body is going to be changed also. But the name has been, how could it be Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever if there was no Jesus Christ yesterday? Or forever. So, to put that name only on that body is to be Jesus only. And Jesus only makes that body the body of God, so much so that it's not a man. Well, if it's not a man, you need a Savior. You need a Redeemer, because your kinsman had to be near to you. Had to be one like you. So God became a man. Amen. And so, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he was before he became flesh. And he is after he died, was buried, and resurrected. So if you're going to know the living God today, you can only know him in that name, in the fullness of who he is, because that is the expression of himself to us in this hour. So we're not just believing on somebody that lived 2,000 years ago and that's gone now. We're believing on the one that's here right now, that lived in the one that was here 2,000 years ago, but he's here tonight. He's alive tonight, and he's in a body tonight. And his name is Jesus. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So this name was given to us as was prophesied in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which we know means God with us. It was God above us in the Old Testament, but now he's going to be God with us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they should call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So it's God in Christ. So Jesus is Jehovah Savior, God with us. Jehovah condescending so that he can take on human battles. So he can feel what it's like to suffer a headache. So he can understand you. So he can be touched by the feelings of your infirmity. So that he can be your go-between. So that he can be your high priest, because he knows what you're going through. Tempted in all ways, yet without sin. So if there was no man there, there could be no temptation, because God can't be tempted. Amen? Amen? But he was tempted in all ways, except without sin. So it's a greater revelation of himself when he became flesh and dwelt among us and suffered amongst us it became a greater revelation of himself or unfolding of himself to you and I than he was in the Old Testament, revealing himself to the prophets and through the prophets to Israel. So it's a greater revelation of himself. And what we need to recognize is that salvation was not fully revealed to those in the Old Testament. They didn't experience the fullness of salvation. God did many, many wonderful things in the Old Testament, many marvelous things, many supernatural things, but they never received salvation from their sin. So the greatest deliverance is through salvation in the greatest name, the name above all names. You still with me tonight? Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now, how long is this going to be true? Well, I'll just give you the answer and we'll back it up here in a little bit. Always. There's never going to be a name higher than that. Ever. Philippians 2:10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. So salvation, you won't find salvation in any other name. That's the only place that you'll find salvation. It is the greatest revelation of God, that name. There are seven redemptive names of God, and all of those redemptive names are contained in that one name. And salvation being only in that name, that means that the redeemed or the objects of his salvation, they must also be contained in that name. Because salvation has no meaning without them. They're what's being saved. They're what's being redeemed. So you were in him, and you were a hidden mystery. But as he revealed himself to you, you are also being revealed. He's being revealed to you, and you are being revealed to you. The mystery of God is being revealed to you, and you're part of that mystery. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we, notice, it doesn't say might or could be or it's possible, must. Amen. We must be saved, but the only way that we can be saved is under that name. There's no other name given. Are you with me tonight? Yeah. Hallelujah. So we got excited when we came to this message of the hour. We got excited for a whole lot of reasons. We got excited because we got set free. We knew the truth. The truth made us free. He cleaned us up, showed us that he wasn't three gods or ten gods or two gods, but he was one Lord, just as the scripture said, and told us what his name was and told us what was being restored back to the church. We also learned that as Eliezer began to show us, this is who the bridegroom is. We didn't know who the bridegroom was. We didn't understand. We might have heard the term bride in the denominational ranks, but it really didn't have the significance to us as it does now. So we found out also that he's not a minor god in a triumvirate. He's not a junior god. He's not a junior member, you know. He's not working for dilution, and you know, you can't make up these names, you know, these lawyers, you know, they'll this one, that one, and that one, you know, and they get all their names together. Well, there's every one of those is a partner, every one of those is a senior partner, and there's somebody else working underneath them, but they're kind of sharing in that role, you know, like Julius Caesar did with whoever it was when, you know, they were sharing power when he was first coming into power. He's not a power sharer. He's not a junior member hoping to be a bigger member or trying to be humble and stay in the background. He's the only one. He's the very person of God made flesh. Acts chapter 4 verse 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, by the way, whom God raised up from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Somebody say praise the Lord. So a man is healed at the gate called Beautiful after the day of Pentecost. And Peter's basically saying to the people, he's saying, you know what? You can shout, you can scream, you can beg, you can plead in any other name that you choose to scream in. You can pray in the name of Jehovah. Wouldn't that be good? You could call out the name Elohim. You could pray Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Jireh. You could pray in all of those names and you'll get zilch. Nada. Zip. But there's one name, and that name contains all that you have need of. Anything that you have need of is in that name. It's one-stop shopping. You don't have to go around to these different gods, these different deities. I got to pray to St. Michael and St. Thomas or Mary or this or that or Brother Branham. There's one name. One name. And it's all contained in that one name. If you have a need, it's in that one name. And in that name is the power to make sure that you receive it. You cannot be saved in the name of Jehovah. Oh, that sounds flat, but it's true. There's no salvation in the name Jehovah. You cannot be saved in the name Jehovah Jireh. You cannot be saved in the name Elohim. There's only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that outside of that name, you're lost. Outside of that name, you're not redeemed. Outside of that name, there's no deliverance from sin. It's in that name and that name only. They were not delivered from sin in the Old Testament. It's in this, under this New Testament and under this name that we find deliverance from sin. So unless you know God by this name, you cannot be saved. And you cannot be in the rapture. And you'll go through the tribulation. No wonder people got so angry with them when they emphasized this name. There, Brother Augie, Peter's saying, if you don't know Jehovah by this name, there's no salvation for you. Can you imagine saying that to Jews who've been praying in the name of Jehovah for 4,000 years? Right. And now all of a sudden they're saying, that ain't good enough. Well, that sounds like you're doing away with our God. Without revelation, it will sound crazy. Yeah. Amen. Well, don't take our Jehovah away from us. We know that Jehovah is God. Wouldn't argue that at all. But he's changed his mask. And he's come in another name. But it's the name that he always had, but we just never knew. Hallelujah. You can only be saved by invoking that name. And then you'll have to be baptized in that name. How many knows you must be baptized in that name? You must be. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. There's a promise that comes. And it's in a name, and in this case, it's the name of the Lord thy God. It was the name of Jehovah in the Old Testament. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Think about this. This is under the name of Jehovah of the Old Testament.
that they were identified by his name, identified with his name, and just at the mention of his name, all the people of the earth trembled. What do you think happens in hell when you speak the name of Jesus? Oh, friends, don't minimize this tonight. All demons, the demons tremble. The demons shake and the demons quake. We need to get a hold of ourselves. We need to stop shaking and quaking and realize it's that other dimension that's being shook. We need to stand and realize that there's no name greater than that name. Hallelujah. But they couldn't keep his word in the Old Testament. So the covenant, a new covenant was made with you and I. And then the covenant keeper himself would come and dwell in a new covenant people who would be known by his name. And his name was to be worshipped, and his name was to be exalted in all the earth. Psalms 34, verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Praise ye, Psalm 113, 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Hallelujah. Psalm 83, verse 16. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Lord. So his name separated Israel from all the other people, and they were the only ones that were identified with his name and by his name. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So, it's a people of his name. A people identified by his name. A people intimately connected with his name. A name, the name above all names. So, at his birth, his name was Jesus. But after he died, was buried, and rose again, there was a further unfolding, was there not? Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Amen. He became the Lord Jesus Christ. He was Jesus. He became the Lord Jesus Christ. When he conquered sin, when he conquered hell, when he was raised up again, he became both Lord and Christ. And we take on his name. He's the only way. He's the open door. The scripture talks about an open door. And it was a door that was opened between the Philadelphia church age, the sixth age, and the seventh age. I've had many that, you know, have just been a little bit confused, you know, because they said, well, you know, this message is a restoration message. But my father had the correct revelation of the name of Jesus back in the turn of the century. Well, yeah, it was made known then. It was revealed between the sixth age and the seventh age, and it was needful for it to be made known. Christ is the door. And so the door opening is him revealing himself to us. So let's just read that here for a moment from the Philadelphia church age. He says, now then, we can see that Jesus is the door. He's the door of the sheep. And notice that it speaks now of the door opening. What is that but a revelation of him? And that revelation is opening up. That revelation is opening up. Here's why. You want to know why? To bring us strength, to illuminate the word, and to glorify his name. It was in the midst of the last two ages that the revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ blossomed out before us. Yes, we knew he was God. How else could he be our Savior? But to know that he was only God, or God alone, that he was the Alpha and the Omega, that this Jesus was both Lord and Christ, making him Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. All one person. That had been lost since the first church ages. But now we are seeing it again. The revelation of who he was had come back. Indeed, Godhead is not a three-person God with one personality, for it takes a personality to make a person. If there's one personality, there's but one person. But they who believe in three persons have a three-God Godhead and are guilty of breaking the first commandment. But the revelation of Godhead is back, he says. Now the true church can be built in strength. He said, thou hast a little strength, but they needed to be built back up. And that strength comes, oh, friends, do we realize what's been given to us in that name? Strength comes back to the body through the revelation of the Godhead. He says, now the true church can be built in strength again. After all this time, she finally knows who her Lord is. Once again, we are baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus, just as they did at Pentecost. This is the only salvation there is. There is no other salvation. Our salvation is not in William Branham. It's not in the name of William Branham. And he won't be upset one little bit that I said that. In fact, he'll be upset if I don't say that. Amen. There's no other name. It's not in the name of the church. It's not in the name of a pastor. It's not in the name of a certain organization. It's not in the name of a doctrine. You're not saved by a doctrine. People say, believe this or else. Oh, so that doctrine's my savior. No. Christ Jesus is my Savior. Salvation alone is in that name. Hallelujah. No other name is given for salvation. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Name, singular. What's that name? Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Is Wonderful his name? In Wonderful name I pray. Amen. Well, you'll be there a long time. If you're waiting for some gas to put in your car, you ain't getting it. You'll be waiting a while. His name shall be called Wonderful. In other words, in that name is Wonderful. Counselor, in that name, he's Counselor. The Mighty God, in that name, he's the Mighty God. But you don't pray, I ask this in the name of Mighty God, amen. The Everlasting Father, he is the Everlasting Father, but that's not his name. The Prince of Peace, is he the Prince of Peace tonight? Yes. Don't pray in the name of the Prince of Peace. You won't get anything. Pray in the name of the Prince of the Peace. Don't pray in the name of Prince of Peace, but pray in the name of the Prince of Peace. What is that name? So that isn't his name. Those are attributes of him. And they're wonderful attributes. But you won't get anything if you pray in that name. His name shall be called all of those things. For in that name are all of those things. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Mighty One. But Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. So without that name, there's no spirit. And without the spirit, there's no life. And we have life only through the name above all names, the name Jesus. John chapter 20 verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So without his name, there's no life. I can't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost without his name. I have to repent, be baptized in his name to get that life. By one Spirit, we're baptized into one body, in one name. So life is only through the name of Jesus. I'm so glad he kept it simple for us. He just boils it down to one. I don't have to remember a whole lot. Right? We don't have to get all complicated. I can remember one name. Two, three, four, I might start getting confused. You bring me into a place, well, I'd like you to meet so-and-so. Well, I'm looking at so-and-so's face and looking at his tie or lack of one and his hairdo. And, right? There's so many things that are assaulting your senses and you're trying to categorize and file. And right? And you're picking all that up. And a couple of moments later, what was your name again? You know, got to hear it two or three times. Right? Because you're taking in so much. But here's one name. How hard is it to remember one name? Thank you, Lord. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And life is only in the name of Jesus. So people argue this. And they say, well, you know, I'd rather believe what Jesus said than what Peter said. You know, because Jesus said, go ye into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, Peter said something else, and I'm just going to stick with what Jesus said. But the problem with that is that when you read Matthew chapter 28:19, you're reading the words that Matthew wrote. Let me say that again. You're reading the words that Matthew wrote. You said you'd want to just believe what Jesus said. You're reading what Matthew wrote. And in Acts chapter 2, we find those words fulfilled. Now let me just drop a little atom bomb on you. The book of Matthew was written after the day of Pentecost. So we get in our minds that this took place and then they went and did that. Jesus did speak words, but Matthew didn't record it until after the fact. You think Matthew, after what took place on the day of Pentecost, went and wrote this not knowing that he was saying in the name and not knowing what that name was? Of course he knew. But it's written this way on purpose. Because it's actually a guard. The four Gospels are guards. It's to keep out people that would get eternal life and still be sinners. It blinds them to the door. So when they baptized in the book of Acts, they didn't have a Trinity in their thinking. In fact, the whole concept of a Trinity didn't, that was conjured up 300 and something years later at the Nicaea Council, and it was conjured up by a bunch of Catholics. Because they were trying to bring people in, and they're trying to bring these, those that worship the sun god and moon god and these different gods, and they're trying to bring them all together. Okay, Son of God, Son God, what's the difference? You know, December 25th and is the birth of the Son God, and so we'll make Jesus, that we'll make that his birthday, and we'll say it's the Son of God, and you know, just trying to rope it all in together and bring people in. So it's a Roman Catholic doctrine. So if you are baptized in those titles, you are baptized into the Catholic Church instead of being baptized into Christ. Now your hope is in the church. And your hope is that your salvation is in the church, but there's no salvation in the woman. The salvation is in that name. So the titles never bring salvation. Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, what is that name? It doesn't say whosoever shall call upon the titles of the Lord. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Peter was given the keys of the kingdom. We all know that, right? So in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, he's going to start putting those keys into the lock, and he's going to start opening some things for us. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Put the key in the lock. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name singular of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. This is how sin is going to be remitted. You must be baptized in the name. So, you know, we might have went a number of years saying, well, you know, baptism doesn't save you. Actually, it does. Actually, baptism is part of this. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name. Now, if you hear this and you know this and you don't do it, you're not saved. You say, well, what if I don't have a chance? You do have a chance. You had enough time to ask me that. There was your chance. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive life. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's no other way to remit sin. So you must confess and be identified with the name Jesus. You must repent of your sins. You must be baptized into that name. There's a ceremony to everything. And this is how your sin will be remitted, and this is how life will come back. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as our Lord God shall call. Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When we marry, there's a ceremony. And part of that ceremony is the taking on of a new name. And if you've got a wacky pastor, he tries to get you to take his name. I wouldn't know anything about that. But you're taking on the name of the one that you're uniting with in a ceremony. Right? Not a title. Those of you that weren't there, that are probably wondering what's so crazy. When I introduced Greg and Hannah as husband and wife, I introduced him in my last name. I never seen, Hannah looked at me shocked. Did I just marry you? Is this a trick? And Greg looked at me, what's going on? Everybody looked and I'm like, what did I say? What did I do? Thankfully, God had a sense of humor. Everybody else had a sense of humor. We got it straightened out. You're not supposed to... No, you're not taking my name. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, baptism has something to do with it? Evidently. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. I'm going to answer your question. Don't worry. I know what it is. And he that believeth not shall be damned. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you've repented, you will get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You will do that. And you will be saved. It's part of the formula. If the word says it, we will do it. If we have the opportunity. Right? You say, but Brother Baker, au contraire, mon frère. On the contrary, my brother. The thief, how about him? He wasn't baptized. Well, some might say, well, he didn't have the opportunity. But I'm going to give you the correct answer. Jesus told him, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Right. Paradise is where the Old Testament believers were. He was going to him under the Old Testament covenant. So he didn't need to be baptized. And then he was brought out with the Old Testament believers. They were believing on to something. He hadn't died yet. He hadn't paid the price. What good would baptism do when the sacrifice hadn't been offered? Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. That's wonderful how the Lord just reveals these things, you know. You just look at it for years and years and years, and all of a sudden, oh, there it is. Paradise, that's Old Testament. Paradise emptied out the New Testament. He took them all out of there. Glory to God. Under a New Testament covenant, you're baptized into His name. You must be. And only in that name. Not in titles. Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. You don't need to do that. They did. And it showed that they believed what they heard because they got baptized. Acts 8:15, who, when they were come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet He was fallen upon none of them, only they that were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 10:43. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. It's only in that name. It's only through that name. Acts 10:48. And He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they Him to tarry certain days. Now friends, there's no place in the scripture where anybody was ever baptized in any other way. Correctly. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Acts 10, verse 43. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. It over and over and over. It's just, there's no ambiguity. We find witness after witness after witness. The recipe never changes. Doesn't that give you confidence tonight? Wow, I can just trust this. I can put all my hopes into it. I can just rest on this. I've met His requirement. Acts 19:1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, you fellows received the Holy Ghost yet since you believed? We believe that God sent a prophet, so we're all right. We believed in Jesus. We're okay. No, that's not what he asked them. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost? Has the life come to you since you believed? And they said unto him, what Holy Ghost? What are you talking about? What life? What's this? And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? See, there's a promise connected to a baptism. Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Well, John's baptism was wonderful, but it won't work now. John's baptism was preparing them for what was to come. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. But John's baptism was not for the remission of sins. Then said Paul, well, John, he verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on Him which shall come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they said, so? We think we're okay. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Brother Branham. Friends, it's so pathetic. People actually are doing that. It just makes your skin crawl. That's so anti-message, anti-Christ, anti-what He taught. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, the name above all names. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. Why? Because they met the requirement. And they spake with tongues and prophesied. We won't all do that. But nothing wrong with it if you do. Speaking with tongues and prophesying is not the baptism. They received the baptism. The Holy Ghost came upon them. Then. You see what I'm saying? You can speak with tongues and prophesy and still not have the Holy Ghost. And all the men were about 12. So don't worry about numbers. This was so important that it's written here in the Bible for our sake. And it was only 12 people. Acts 22, verse 16. Is this okay?
Yes.
Acts 22, 16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We better know what that name is. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name, listen to this, hath given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians 1:20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named. Now listen to this. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. This will always be the name above all names. Always. Because it's the full expression of God. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we know that, we'll pull over here in just a moment, and I really mean it. Mystery Babylon is marked by God as an unclean woman. We know that in the book of Revelations, there's two brides. There's two women. One of them's clean, one of them's unclean. One of them's pure, one of them is, she's filthy. She's not just unclean, she's filthy. Right? She's drunk on the blood of the martyrs. And they've actually taken on the name of a woman, the church, instead of the man, Jesus. What a perversion. I wonder how far we are from that today with all the perverted forms of marriage that we have. We are saved, and we are baptized in that name. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. One Lord. There's only one way that this is all going to fit together. There's only one way that it's going to dovetail from the Old Testament to the New Testament, right? So if he's one God, Jesus said, and I came in the name of my Father. And if his name is Jesus, then his Father's name is Jesus, which is the same in the Old Testament. It's the same all the way through. Ephesians 4:4. There's one body, there's one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Notice all these ones. Thank you, Lord. Well, there's two. Okay, which one do I need? And then there's three of those, and there's seven of these. Two of those. And, wow, this is getting complicated. There's one body. Aren't you glad? There's one spirit. Aren't you really glad? Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all. And in you all. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Zechariah 14:9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. In that day there shall be one Lord. He shall be king over all the earth. There shall be one Lord, and his name one. Well, you can say here tonight, there's a partial fulfillment of that, because there's the earth, and your throne, his throne is in your heart. And in your heart is one God, one King, who's Lord over all of your flesh. Not just part of your flesh. He's Lord. We sing that song, Jesus be the Lord of all. The Lord of what? The kingdoms of my heart. Jesus, name above all names. His name is greater tonight, friends, than the name of addictions. His name is greater than any sickness, any word that you can come out with tonight. His name is greater than that. His name is greater than depression. His name is greater than discouragement. His name is greater than anxiety. His name is greater than anything, than drugs, alcohol, perversion. His name is greater than cancer tonight. His great name is greater than Ebola. His name is greater than arthritis. His name is greater than heart trouble. His name is greater than low blood sugar or high blood sugar or low blood pressure. His name is greater than that. He's the Lord of all. Every knee has to bow. That means every demon has to bow. Every power has to bow. Every sickness has to bow. There's nothing that can stand before that name. It's the name above all names. Friends, I don't care what it is tonight. I don't care what the devil's trying to do in your life. I don't care what he's trying to do in your family's life. There's a name tonight that's above all names. It's greater. It's more powerful. It's undefeated. It destroys every enemy. It breaks every fetter. This name is the name above all names. And we have access to that name tonight. We can come in that name tonight believing. And the demons, they're already trembling. They get nervous. They've been trying to upset this service since we started tonight. And I've just kept going and kept going and kept going. They're nervous. But there's going to be some devils go out the building tonight. There's going to be some demons bowing to that name tonight. The name above all names. We come in that name tonight. In the name of Jesus. The same one as both Lord and Christ. We claim everything in that name tonight. We put the devil on notice tonight. We put every demon power on notice tonight. Give me back my health. Let go of my body. Leave my mind alone. Get out of my family's life. Take your sickness and pack it on. You are defeated. Every demon power is defeated tonight. There's not one demon power that has any power here tonight. They're already defeated. They must give way to the name of Jesus tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, friends, let's take what belongs to us. Let's go to the enemy's camp tonight and take back what he stole from us. It belongs to us. And we come not in our own name. We don't have to worry about, well, what if he this and that and the other? Just come in the name above all names. And you'll get what you're after. In my name they shall cast out devils. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover. In my name, demons will tremble. Do you believe that tonight? Oh, friends, let's let our faith soar. We've been battling face battle. And you're sitting there tonight, oh, I feel like I'm being picked on because I've been battling and battling and the symptoms are there. You've been battling because you're a believer. But there comes a time when victory comes. You've been holding on. You've been saying, I don't know how this is going to work out, but you keep on believing. You keep on holding on. Tonight is your night. Tonight is the night to say, I take it. In the name of Jesus, I take it tonight. In the name of Jesus, no high blood pressure. Leave my body in Jesus' name tonight. No devil is gonna regulate my blood pressure tonight. In the name of Jesus, my blood sugar is returning to normal. In the name of Jesus, my nerves are starting to steady. In the name of Jesus, my anxiety is going to leave. Because it's not my anxiety, it's the devil. And I'm sending it back where it came from. In the name of Jesus, I take my peace. I hold on to it. In the name of Jesus, I tell you tonight, kingdom of hell, let my family go. Let my children go. Let my mother go. Let my father go. My sister, my brother. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We have that name tonight. And in that name is everything you have need of. It's not my name. It's not your name. It's not the church's name. It's His name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many stand to your feet tonight? I'm going to take what belongs to me. Demons scream when we speak out that name. They call out from one side of the building to the other, help me, help me. There's no help for you. You came to the wrong place tonight, devil. Demon, this is your notice night. This is your eviction night. Amen. Leave the building tonight. Don't you get on somebody on the way out the door. Don't you hitchhike now. Leave the building. Leave this body. We're all one body. We claim health in the body tonight. We claim healing in the body tonight. We claim deliverance in the body tonight. Salvation is in the body tonight. Deliverance is in the body tonight. Peace. Joy. Hallelujah. Everything we have need of is in the body tonight. We claim it. Praise the name of the Lord. Brother Kenny has taught us so many songs that declare what we're preaching tonight. But I trust that we're going to start singing these songs with new revelation. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Oh, so many friends, so many songs. We're going to sing them with revelation. Because we've caught that revelation. There's no greater. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Emma, there's no greater name. No greater name. He has what you want tonight. There's no greater name. It's yours. There's no greater name. There's no problem. Hallelujah. A mother's heart for her children. That's your possession tonight. It belongs to you. There's no greater name. Oh, these demons. Oh, doctrinal devils. They're not greater than Him. There's no greater one than Him tonight. Hallelujah. There's nothing too great for Him tonight, friends. How many believes that tonight? It's time that we take what belongs to us. In the name above all names. He's my Lord. There is no other one. Hallelujah. It's time that we lift up the name of Jesus. It's time that we lift it up on the earth. Hallelujah. No other name is to be exalted like this name. Let's exalt that name. Let's speak that name. And let's don't use that name any other way. Let's don't say, oh, geez, or oh, let's don't even play with it. It's a holy name. It's a powerful name. It's a name that everything under heaven surrenders to and submits to. Let's guard that name. And let's use it appropriately. Can we do that tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh God. Lord, we believe you tonight. Help, Lord, if there's any unbelief, drive it out. Lord, we thank you tonight that your word is power. We thank you tonight that your word, it drives out unbelief, Lord. That your word is where we find our faith, Lord. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. Lord, when I go to the doctor, my faith doesn't rise up in me. When I hear the doctor's word, I appreciate the doctor and I know their place and I appreciate, Lord, the abilities that they might have, but their word doesn't give me faith. My faith comes from your word. And I want to take you at your word, whether I understand what's going on, whether I can pronounce the symptoms, whether I can diagnose the root of whatever the situation is. Lord, I want to take your word. Father, I pray that that word would find its resting place in every heart tonight. I pray, Lord, that whatever it is that we have need of, Lord, that we'll just grab it by the horns tonight, recognizing that in your name, everything is available to us tonight, Lord. Father, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, demons are bowing tonight. They don't have a choice. They hear your name and they tremble. They shake. Lord, under the name of Jehovah in the Old Testament, the peoples of the other nations quaked in their boots under the name of Jehovah of the Old Testament. How much more under the same God, under a more full name tonight, the name of Jesus tonight. Lord, there's no other name given whereby we must be saved. Father, we look to you in that name. We pray to you in that name. We ask in that name. We do everything in that name. We give thanks in that name tonight. We make love to you in that name tonight, Lord. We get married in that name. We get buried in that name. We get baptized in that name. Lord, we accept you in that name. We claim our healing in that name. Everything is done in that name. We thank you for our food in that name. We thank you for our drink in that name. We thank you for our health. We thank you for the sleep, Lord, that you give us before we lay down at night. We thank you for the rest when we wake up in the morning, and we do it all in your name. Everything we do in deed or in word is in that name, the name above all names. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for revealing to us your name, which is your characteristics, the greatest revelation. Now, Lord, help us to, God, may our faith reach out tonight. Lord, the faith is in the building tonight. We're not praying for more faith to come down. It's here. We want it to be released tonight, Lord. We want it to be loose tonight. Whether it's praying for somebody that's not here or something that's going on or something in our family or whatever it might be. Or maybe it's something that we have need of tonight, Lord. But we want to release it. And we want to do it in the name above all names. No fear, no doubts, no worries. No, I'll try this. But we want to just lay it out there. Lord, we don't have to shout. We don't have to quake. We don't have to psych ourselves up. But we just need to simply speak it in your name. Because in your name is everything needed to bring it to pass. Grant it tonight, Lord. Father, if there's any sin in our life tonight, Lord, we don't want anything to hinder. And we know that it's your tender hand, Lord, to not move on our behalf. When there's sin in our life, when there's unconfessed sin, Lord, we know that if we confess that you're faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, it's not to bring condemnation upon anybody. On the contrary, it's conviction to set us free, Lord, of something that's hindering our faith, something that's hindering your moving in our lives. Lord, a demon doesn't have to move, Lord, when there's unconfessed sin. But Lord, we know that if we confess that you're faithful and just to forgive, and then we can come boldly before your throne. No questions, no worries, no fears. We come in your name, and Lord, we leave it in your hands. We know the power is in the name, and we know that you'll accomplish whatsoever it is that we say, whatsoever we agree on, whatsoever we ask for in this dimension. Lord, bless each and everyone here tonight, Lord. Father, may our walk ratchet up, Lord. May this revelation just become greater to us, more precious to us. May we put more emphasis on it, Lord, in our daily walk, in our daily lives. May we be careful what we say, how we say it, Lord. May we use your name and may we use it often, but may we use it the right way. May we use it to praise. May we use it to exalt. May we use it to ask, to speak. Everything in your name, Lord. Grant it tonight. For we ask this in the name above all names. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord.